What's up and welcome to the Invincibly Broken Podcast, a weekly talk show hosted by your boys, Orlando and Julian, talking about today's society, their family lives, and anything they damn well please. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and enjoy the show. What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Invincibly Broken Podcast. As always, I'm Orlando, joined with my brother from another mother, Julian. Julian, please say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Very graceful, Julian. Very graceful.
How you been, my friend? I'm a man of, still unpacking boxes and trying to settle into a new place. See, I've actually started putting stuff up in my little office, so I'm not staring at a blank wall.
Awesome, man. Well, it looks like things are coming a bit together for somewhat a little bit. How you liking North Kakalaki?
It's nice, very country, like super country.
Really?
Like, oh my god!
Well, where you live is very country.
Yeah,
I was about to say. I was like, I don't know.
On my way to work, I actually got stuck behind a chicken truck that like broke down.
So it's like living in Florida all over again.
Pretty much.
I mean, you were in Texas. Yeah. It's pretty country over there too.
Yeah.
Anyway, man. So let's. So today, I figured we can go a little bit in almost like a full circle, right? So
okay,
the double-edged sword. COVID-19, right? So we call it a double-edged sword because if it wasn't for COVID-19, this podcast wouldn't be here, right? So this podcast was birthed through COVID-19. Take that for however you want to take it. It was natural birth, not C-section. But despite the popular belief of my enormous head, so. We wanted to talk a little bit about COVID-19, right? It's been a crazy 2020, right? So it's been about almost a year now that we've been dealing with this, and we've all experienced it in some way, crazy shape or form. No one can say that COVID-19 hasn't affected their lives somehow, right? You would agree with that, Julian?
I would agree with that 100%. Both, and it's actually been, I want to say probably mainly on the negative spectrum, but there's been a couple of positives that have come out of it.
You always, I mean, from a personal level, probably one-on-one, I don't know about a country level, which we'll talk about, but COVID-19, you know, in the early beginnings, nobody knew what the hell was going on, or mass hysteria, pandemic, everyone's going to die, right? The
zombies.
Zombies, we're going to take over the earth, whatever the case may be. And, you know, a lot has happened since those initial days. You know, we had a huge lockdown. Then after the initial lockdown, everybody was like, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks and then we're going to be good. And then all of a sudden, like, lockdowns were permanent. Then state by state, governors are flipping the finger to the federal government saying, listen, we're just going to open. So I figured we could talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about how COVID it has pretty much affected us, right? And then kind of discuss what we've learned from COVID, right? Do a little speculation here and there, and then the new hot topic is this COVID-19 vaccine that everybody is looking to get and ASAP, and hopefully put an end to all this bullshit that we're going through. But I kind of want to give a little disclaimer because this show is live, and I would and we're kind of a tongue in cheek podcast. We try to talk about serious issues, but keep it as lighthearted as possible. From the beginning, because I don't want anybody to get butthurt, we both agree that COVID-19 is serious, right? We both have people that have been affected by COVID-19, who have fallen ill. I know people personally that have lost family members And I've lost family members that because of COVID or due to a previous illness, but COVID enhanced, you know, accelerated that. And, you know, I personally am high risk for COVID. I have an autoimmune deficiency. A lot of you know that I'm in remission of cancer as well. And I know Julian feels the same way as I do. So we just wanted to make sure that you guys knew that we take it seriously. But there's a lot of buts. I have an asterisk with my COVID-19. But
yeah, no. And I appreciate the disclaimer because, yeah, you know, it is definitely the elephant in the room. It has been the elephant in the room since March, when, you know, it first kind of surfaced, and it is very serious. You know, my brother came with it, and then he also has, you know, he was a type 2 diabetic, and, you know, he's doing well now and everything. Currently, my mother-in-law is fighting with it, and she's a respiratory therapist in Puerto Rico. So she's been kind of in the front lines with this. My brother's a police officer, so dealing in the front lines. So it is a very serious, it is near and dear in our hearts, but also understand that we are funny in a dark place kind of people. And we're just trying to make, I don't want to say make light of a situation, but at least, you know,
it's okay to say make light. I mean, it's like the yin and the yang, you know, in all light, there's a little bit of darkness, and in all darkness, a little bit of light. Right. So, and if, you know, people get offended, fuck them. Then they can watch something else on TV. But
exactly.
But for all you guys out there, sending us some loves and showing us comments. Hello to all of you. Thank you for joining us. I greatly appreciate it. Now, Julian, let's go back. March-ish, right? COVID-19 starts out overseas in China, starts spreading across. We start getting trickles of infections here in the United States, right? We had people a little scared. Government's like, no, we're good. And then they kind of backtracked and they started shutting stuff down. And the biggest thing that I could personally remember is that they were like, all right, we got this. We're going to shut everything down for 2 weeks and then we're going to be good. Fast forward to 9 months later. They made it sound really simple. They're like, listen, everybody just got to stay home 2 weeks. People are like, fuck it. I don't got to go to work. I could telecommute. This is going to be great. I can spend some quality time with my family. And now we have people homeschooling children and working from home. And I mean, where do you think we went wrong, Julian?
I think one of the things that we went wrong is like, hey, listen, it's a free country, do whatever you want to do. But, you know, if you've, and I know people personally that I don't want to say that they didn't take this seriously, but they were felt that they were being infringed upon by something as simple as put on a goddamn mask. And stay the fuck away from me for 6 feet. And, you know, we'll go. We ended up with a huge hotspot, which was, of course, you know, get the fuck out of here state, which is New York. Mm-hmm. And look how that turned out. And it was everything from, you know, people just on top of each other. We even mentioned it, you know, just remanded to home. But it was like people on top of people that, you know, the Navy sent out the ship and they came out of the woodwork, no social distancing whatsoever, just to take a picture of a boat. So, I mean, there was a lot of things that, one of the things that I think we went wrong as a country, mm-hmm. I think is the arrogance. Mm-hmm. Cause we're, I can see that. As a country, we are absolutely arrogant. And, we're like, hey, you know, it's not my problem. I don't have it. But then we also started, as we went along, we started finding out that people could be asymptomatic, not have not one symptom. You know, they can still taste ice cream, but they were still positive, and then they were spreading it. Yeah. And then also, of course, the coronavirus challenges of people licking doorknobs and all that stuff, which Jesus. Was...
What a black eye to our country. But anyway, so and just so you guys know, for all you guys following us live, feel free to chime in the comment section if you want to, or you have a point of view or don't agree or agree with Julie and I. But, you know, I think it was kind of like a perfect storm, right? So, I mean, as far as a modern society, we really haven't faced a pandemic, right? I know the
Obama... Not since the Spanish flu.
Not since the Spanish flu, absolutely. I know the Obama administration had put together a reaction type force, task force to go together, and then China Trump disbanded a lot of that. So that was one thing. And then, you know, I think it was more of the fear of the unknown, right? And of course, the media, right? So in the very beginning, everybody's like, this is really bad. You can die. Right? And that's exactly how people felt. Like when I first heard of it, I was really fearful. You know, a lot of people were being very reactive, right? Shortages on toilet paper, water. People are preparing for an apocalyptic event. And, you know,
gun sales went up.
Gun sales went gun sales went crazy. And, you know, the media didn't do much to help but to press fear, right? Instead of, I think, of being a little more informative, I don't think we took the necessary steps, but at the same time, we didn't. It was like, it's weird because, you know, sitting here, I don't know what the right answer is, but like, you take the necessary precautions, you stop travel to countries with the hotspots, right? Or even, you know, domestically hotspots. But I mean, not for nothing, but then you had two organizations like the CDC and WHO giving you contradictory information, right? You know, one minute you're like, yo, don't touch anything. Don't even look at your Amazon boxes because you're going to get COVID. The next second, it's like, hey, if you walk barefoot on a floor, you can get COVID. Like, it's insane. Here's a perfect example. My daughter, when she goes to school, they were spraying her bottoms of her shoes with rubbing alcohol. I'll pause for dramatic effect. How stupid can you possibly... I mean, to me, that's a waste of rubbing alcohol, right? And then on top of that, like, not for nothing, but sneakers are very expensive. Like, you're eating at the soles of the sneakers that I'm buying for my kid, 50 to 60 bucks a pop. But anyway, regardless...
I'm sure glad the priorities are there.
I mean, yeah, like it's impossible to keep a floor clean. And honestly, some of these floors are probably cleaner than your cell phones or when you sneeze into your hands or whatever the case may be. But, you know, you had a lot of contradictory information. And then I think things really started turning for the worse when the CDC started releasing the death rates, the percentage, right? When they were like, at one point it was like 0.5% of the population who got COVID passed away. And then of that, I think 85% of them is because they had some type of pre-existing condition, right? So they either were diabetics, cancer-related, advanced age, right? I know autoimmune diseases are up there, some type of compromised immune systems in general. So one can argue that, I mean, in all reality, like, you know, it's not that big of a number when you look at the size of the world. What is it? 6.9 billion people in the world. 1% of that. That's a lot of people. But I mean, if you're telling me I have a 1% chance of getting sick when I go out versus a 50-50. I might have to take the risk, right? Yeah.
And it's not only that because, so, you know, it's novel, mm-hmm. coronavirus, so it's new. But then you get all the other people that are talking about, well, what about how many people die of the flu every year?
Which is higher.
It's a staggering number. And I mean, one of the biggest problems, I think, is it's just the media. It's just the media. And the just, you know, constant barrage of information, which can also include misinformation, which I think was one of the catalysts to get us to where we're at. But yeah. I mean,
it's, you know, 1% is a lot, right? I think it's at 1.5%. But I don't think people understand the magnitude of who gets ill and who doesn't. Now, granted, I know three people, two of which are dealing with COVID right now, who are in my age group, and one is perfectly fine, and the other one was in the hospital on oxygen, and is still on oxygen after he's been released from the hospital. He's already foregone, you know, that 14-day period, and he's still suffering from it. And I think a lot of it also has to do about your own personal well-being. So I know a lot of people who are not healthy. And when I say not healthy, I mean people who don't take care of themselves, you know, maybe obese, or, you know, maybe if you're eating McDonald's for breakfast and washing it down with Burger King for dinner, it's not helping you out much, or maybe you're not as physically fit. I know those are things that play into effect. But I think a lot of people also understand that 1%, like, people have to work, right? Like, I think a lot of people lost sight of this. And I think this is still the argument that goes on, right? So, and tell me if you have a different opinion, Julian, or anybody else who's listening. You know, I still hear people say, just lock it down. Let's lock it down for another 2 weeks or 6 weeks or however long it takes. But people just don't understand, like, you and I are fortunate enough that we have day jobs that let us work from home, right? And a lot of people, like the people who work at Walmart, people who work at McDonald's, like gas stations, like these people can't be afforded the opportunity to work from home. Like, this is affecting them just as worse than it is affecting people like us who had the opportunity to telecommute. Then you want to shut down schools and then expect people to take care of their children at home that have to go to work. Like, it's just not feasible. Like, this cut. And then they're just like, well, the government will take care of it. They'll cut us another $1,200 check that
never showed up. And it's true. It's just, it's not even that
it showed up. It's not enough money. Like, what is $1,200? Exactly. I can't live off of $1,200. Even if I cut myself down to the bare necessities and went down to ramen noodles, like, that doesn't even pay rent in Central Florida. The average rent in Central Florida is almost like $1,600. Is the medium is like, I think, $1,500 a month. Yeah, it's expensive. It's super expensive.
Yeah, no, and the whole thing about shutting down, it's just not sustainable. So we had Darren in the comments from Down Under, hey mate, talking Melbourne, Victoria now, zero new cases, zero deaths, and zero active cases, which is awesome.
Dude, those Aussies don't play, man. They're on top of shit all the time.
And by the way, I've been trying to keep up with AFL, but it's just so early in the morning, and I'm just like, I love Aussie rules football, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Collinsworth. Awesome. But anyway, I digress. But it's just not sustainable. We cannot just shut down. I mean, like you mentioned it, we're blessed. I teleworked for like 3 months, not once did my pay ever change or anything. But then now I'm starting to deal with us I continue to deal with some of the fallout of this, because so moved from Texas to North Carolina. Both my kids have to are like my oldest son. He's 16. He can stay home. No big deal. He's doing still school virtually. My daughter, my youngest one, the 5-year-old, she goes to school Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then the rest of the week is virtual. Okay. I'm back at work. Well, now that's going to start affecting me now, because now my wife is not working. I mean, we're going to be okay. We're going to be fine, but it's going to be a little bit tight until things come back. And even then, I got the notification saying that the plan is to for the next semester here in the county where we're living in, that they're going to start going to school every day, but it's going to be Monday through Thursday and Friday virtual.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, my daughter has been able to continue going to school, and she's also been able to continue her therapy services because she's autistic. But there was 2 weeks that she was home. She was being homeschooled, and they wanted to do a virtual. And like, I can't even get my daughter to FaceTime me when I'm away on a business trip, let alone sit her down in front of a computer to have someone assigned work to her.
I'm telling you,
some people just doesn't work. I mean, I can only imagine. Like I've had phone calls, conversation with you in the morning, and you're like already at your wit's end because you're like your daughter's like pulling on all the strings of your patience that you have left because you're trying to teach her, you know, what 2 + 2 is or what I heard. I was on the phone with somebody and they were like arguing over if you mix blue and red, what color you get, you know, like.
I think I want to say that was me.
It might have been you, but like literally, like I don't know.
It was for a whole month, and then the other part about that is, you know, not throwing all my personal stuff out there, but it was like right as I got the notification from my job that I was gonna relocate. So during amidst all of this crap, I also have movers in the house packing up all our crap. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to leave. You know, make sure that my daughter's, you know, her Chromebook and all that stuff, because I had to turn that in. So I'm between, you know, doing my best to teach a 5-year-old kindergarten virtually, which I was thinking, I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. What are they going to teach her? You know, don't pick your boogers and put them in your mouth. But no, man, they're teaching her all this stuff, which she's smart. She gets it, but her attention span, man, she's like Dory. Mm-mm. I mean, she'll squirrel and move on to something else. And I'm like, oh,
I didn't become an educator for that. I mean, I have a hard time educating adults in my line of work, let alone a child. Like I don't have the patience to teach children.
So one of the positive things out of this is that, I mean, I've always appreciated teachers because I have relatives who are teachers, but I have so much more appreciation for teachers now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it was one child, mine. And
I have a legal obligation to this child.
I wanted to flunk this child. I wanted to expel her out of school. I wanted to.
So, it was hard. So I want to open your eyes, right? Because people don't really understand the magnitude because you don't really see a lot of this. A lot of this on mainstream media. So I'm going to name you companies that have filed for bankruptcy. Okay. And you tell and these are not small companies. These are global companies. I'm going to name all the companies that have filed for some type of bankruptcy, whether it's Chapter 7, Chapter 11, whatever the case may be. All right. So 24-hour. This is all within starting from March till now. 24-hour Fitness filed for bankruptcy. Advantage.
What?
Yep. And this that bro. That's going to surprise you. Wait till you hear the rest of them. Advantage Rent-A-Car bankruptcy. The Aldo Group, the clothing company, filed for bankruptcy. And I'm going in alphabetical order, okay? Bar Louie, bankruptcy. Great restaurant, great bar.
I love Bar Louie.
I know, great place. I love it. Brooks Brothers, bankruptcy. Hold on, there's more. Chesapeake Energy, energy company, bankruptcy. Chuck E. Cheese, bankruptcy. Yeah.
They've kind of been on the spiral, though. They've been circling the drain for some time, though.
But still. Cirque du Soleil. Bankruptcy. Let's see. Let me see if I find a couple of the big ones. J. Crew. J.C. Penney. Bankruptcy. Libby. Little Libby sauce. Bankruptcy. No Libby sausages for you guys. Spam, no more. This keeps up. And I love fucking Spam. Oh, and they also, nice Libby's, Libby's does the corned beef, right? The canned corned beef.
And the beef stew.
Beef stew. Love those. Mm. Pier 1, bankruptcy. They're already closing locations down. Old time Partery, bankruptcy. Oh, Pier 1 was making it. There, I mean, you know, they've
been on life support for a minute, though.
Lucky Brand Jeans, True Religion, bankruptcy.
Please don't say Buckle.
I didn't see Buckle in here, but those are just a lot of major. Look, the store Justice. I'm sure you've bought clothes for your daughter. They're closing down. Done deal. They announced it today. So if you want to get clothes for your daughter, start looking for those sales. But yeah, man, it's nuts, dude. Like, and think about it. I just rattled off probably 10 to 15 companies, right? Let's just take one. Let's take a company like Lucky Brand. They probably have about 500 locations. in the United States, maybe a little less. I don't know. I mean, you figure they got 5 people per store. Talking about thousands of people, man, that are out of work. That can't that now have to find another job, which they can't find because there's other major corporations that are losing money and they're cutting back. Look, Nike, what, cut back 7,000 jobs, right? Because now they're going direct to consumer. They're automating everything. A Portland-based company. Now you have states that are raising minimum wages. Small businesses don't want to employ $15 an hour employees. I mean, you can make it as simple as you want and say these are staples that should happen. But the fact of the matter is the low-income jobs, those entry-level jobs, they're going away. They're going away because of COVID, because of poor planning by our government. And they're going away and they're going away because of automation. Like, we can't survive off of this. And honestly, the government could print off some money. Even if they gave you $10,000 to every family for 1 month, where does $10,000 get you? If you took away everything and you literally just went down to bare minimums, rent, electricity, food, how long can you stretch that out?
2 months, maybe.
Maybe. Food's expensive. Maybe. Especially when you got little ones that don't understand, like when they want their staples and stuff like that, you know, like juice or snacks.
And that was another thing. And that was another thing that we lived that. I mean, we were, you know, when we were like teleworking, cool. My gas bill's going to go down. You know, my gas.
Nah, man,
you know,
I was dropping like $200 a week in groceries. Maybe more.
And then our light electric bills freaking went up. And I was like,
It's crazy. And then you do
it like, I don't know how many times I bought chicken nuggets in a week. Like the frozen chicken nuggets. Shout out to the air fryer. If you don't have an air fryer and you have little kids, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You know, I'm just saying that.
Can you believe that neither one of my kids like chicken nuggets? I don't know whose kids they must take after their mother, because I'll jack up some chicken nuggets at 39 years old.
Chicken parm, maybe chicken parm, Italian side.
I love chicken parm, but yeah, man, what do you think is what? So let's talk about that a little bit before we start getting into the vaccinations. What do you think? If Julian were the head honcho in charge, what would you have done differently? Like, what do you think would have? Not so much differently, and I'm not going to hold you to this, but I mean, and hopefully no one else will. I mean, if you want to, you can berate him all you want, but for real, like, if you, I'm sure you have opinions, right? I'm sure you sit at home and like look at the TV and you're like, man, fuck this guy, man. They should just do this.
Yeah, I do have opinions. Just like I watch football and I think I'm the coach. doesn't qualify me to do that. You know, the same thing as an opinion. I mean, I don't know, man. That's very hard because, you know, unless you're at those top levels, and I'm not talking even government, I'm talking about just an organization where your one decision is going to affect the entire organization, and you're talking about thousands of people. I mean, it's hard to say what's. I do have opinions.
But say it.
I do have opinions.
I want to hear it.
I do have opinions. I would have. I mean, yeah. At least the initial shutdown. I think it was necessary. I mean, I don't know, man. I would have gone all, what do you call it? The Hunger Games. I would have divided everything up into districts. I'd be like, you know, made the odds be forever in your favor.
But like,
herd immunity. Oh my God. Yeah. I would have just thrown everybody into just
start sneezing on everybody.
Just sneeze on everybody. Let's get that herd immunity going. Hey, and you know, maybe that's going to thin the herd too. at the end of the day, you know, it might not be immune, but it might thin the herd. But, you know, hey, some of the positives when we were not, when we were on lockdown, hey, the planet got cleaner real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I think about it, right? I think about it often. And I think an initial lockdown was a good idea. I do. The problem was that no direction was given for after the lockdown, right? All we keep saying is stay away from each other, right? Basic biology 101, humans need interaction. They do. You can't stop that. Like, from a mental health perspective, like, it's not healthy to stay away. And it's not healthy to be cooped up either with other people that, you know, you might need a break from or whatever. But it's just fucking shitty planning, right? They're like, okay, great. We're going to lock down, put a mask on, put some gloves on. Don't touch your Amazon boxes. Don't be around people. Everything's going to go away.
Don't scratch your butthole and then touch your nose.
Yeah. You know, wash your hands rigorously 300 fucking times and hand sanitizer till you're chapped and your nails are brittle. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, it's not a feasible, like, right? What was some of the other things that, what was the other, some of the stuff that they were saying? Like, the new thing is not to shake hands. So we're going to start retraining the human population that how they say hello and how they say hello and how they greet each other. Like, you try to go to a Hispanic community and be like, listen, I just want you to wave from afar. No kisses on the cheek, no high fives, no hugs. Yeah, bro, it's just not going to happen. Like, you're asking too much. You're asking, I don't care what you say, you're just asking way too much from humans to be like,
and
hey.
It was awkward. And it was awkward as hell.
Yeah, I still don't know. I still don't even know if I should shake somebody's hand.
And I work in human resources. I interview people. I talk to them all the time. I'm like going in there. I'm like, yeah, Wakanda forever. Okay. Stay away. That's it, man. That's my greeting. I don't even fist bump anybody. No. They're like, fist bump? Nah.
So,
nah, dude.
What I don't understand is...
Just bump your ass back there.
And this herd immunity thing, right? I don't disagree with it. I think it's probably a legit reason. I think we can probably cut the numbers down with herd immunity. But, like, why doesn't the government ever take a stance on a healthier lifestyle? Right? Like, we can say, hey, we stay home for 2 weeks, right? Don't touch anybody. Wear a mask. Okay, I could get down with the mask. I've been dealing with it for now, right? Wash your hands. When you go pee-pee, you wash hands, right? We're supposed to, right?
We hope.
We hope, right? You sneeze, you wash your hands. I know when I travel a ton for work, or did, and honestly, I skeeve humans. I don't like to be, like Julian knows, like, I don't like when people linger on me or lean on me and shit. Like, you have your space. And I have my space. Like, just stay the fuck away from me. So, like, I hate when people sneeze. Like, especially if they're close to me. So, I've always been like, wash hands or whatever the case may be. You do that public service announcement. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Try to be socially distant, right? But why not say, hey, why don't you guys start eating a little bit better? Or take some vitamins, right? I think I read somewhere that I think 80% of all the cases that are going into the hospitals, 85% of the people who are in there have a vitamin D deficiency, right? So now you're telling people to stay at home, locked in a house. They can't get out. They can't get sunlight. They have vitamin deficiencies that put them into a risk. So why not promote those things? Vitamin C, vitamin D, B12, healthy, balanced lifestyle. Go for a fucking walk. You know, try to make yourself healthier. That way you can build up that immunity. So that way we can be better when we go out.
Yeah, that's true. And I got you, Ellie. I got, there's no money in a healthy lifestyle. You know,
Well, I mean, it's time to force the hand. I mean, I think now I got it
because you could either buy a salad for $12 or you could get two Big Macs for a buck, or two for $2. I'm sorry, but either way, it's cheaper to go the easy, unhealthy way. But you know, at some point, you also have to be self-aware.
But why is it more? So here's my thing, right? Go ahead. Yeah,
Go ahead. So
are you telling me to go ahead or are you going to go?
You go.
So my thing is,
I've been practicing that, by the way.
So,
the other way.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. Anyway. I mean, how much does a fucking head of lettuce cost? Like a dollar, man, like a head of lettuce, right? And then you shred some it's not any more expensive than bread and a beef patty. It's horse shit. It's because whatever is the agenda, like fast food is not right around salad. You have healthy companies making a significant profit selling you a salad with 2 ounces of fucking chicken that really isn't that expensive. Like, it's not that big of a head of lettuce. How else am I supposed to say head of lettuce? Head of, anyway.
Romaine.
It's a fucking head of lettuce. But anyway, so, you know, it could, so anyway, I think that it's just a matter of people don't, it's what we've been used to, right?
It's convenient.
I'm sure that a lot of these politicians are getting some type of level of funding from Big Pharma, from a lot of these corporations, but by just saying a couple of words from somebody who, you know, who's within a higher authority or put out a plan. I mean, like, dude, have you seen some of these like animated fucking posters about washing your hands that the government's put out? Like, turn on faucet with a napkin. And then you show the person ripping the napkin down, turning on the faucet, wash hands, and a little fucking animation that just stays, like, trying to get in frame, that just stays still. And then, like, you know, then the water spout over the hands, then the soap. And then at the end, you got some stick figure like, I'm COVID free because I washed my hands. You know, like, it actually kind of sickens me that our government, that they say, oh, you know, we're doing this for you, that they're really not doing anything for us.
And here's the thing. It's more a check the box, check the block kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We're telling you what to do, but we're not really putting too much effort into it. It's like they're doing the minimum by doing a static cartoon and not really, you know, like you said, okay, how about we promote it a little bit? And then another thing that I was going to bring back before we went on this tangent about fast food is one of the things that I think we did not prepare for, and again, goes to the government, health organizations, whatever, was all the mental health aspect of this. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Because a lot of depression and anxiety, I mean, through the roof.
Dude, I know a lot of people who are suffering, man. Like the guy, like people who are living in the cities like Manhattan, Chicago, you know, LA. And it's not even that.
Okay, so my mom lives in Colombia. Uh-huh. She's still remanded to home. Mm-hmm. She can only go out like a couple hours a day, you know, a couple of days a week, you know, and I talk to her all the time. And like, she's on anti-anxiety medication because she's just paranoid at this point.
Yeah.
Because of everything that's been going on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that I think, okay, so we got the physical health aspect that we're talking about, vitamin B, mm-hmm. you know, DEA and all that stuff. You know, eat healthy, get some exercise, but we're not, where I think we also failed was that we did not address the mental health aspect of
it. No, and you're absolutely. And
I think that's one of the reasons why we started this podcast, because we started about talking to men, mm-hmm. you know, things that men don't talk about and stuff, but this is not just.
No, it's everybody.
You know,
this affects everybody.
It's everybody. It's not just everybody. It's absolutely. Not just men.
No, and it's absolutely true. Like, I mean, you know, they took a fear. The media took a fear approach. The government took a fear approach, right? So the fear causes anxiety. because there's a lot of unknown. Like, I don't know about you, man, but like, I really try not. I literally now, anytime I want information about COVID-19, I look on the CDC. I don't, anytime I see headlines pop up from CNN, Fox, CNB, I honestly really don't even pay attention. I don't read it. I don't care. I don't want to know what they, I don't know what their opinions are, because everything is like a fear monger. Like, there's no solution. It's just like, oh, 22-year-old man dead, COVID. Oh, Siamese kitten dies because of COVID. You know, like a lot, you know, a lot of these folks, I mean, a lot of the way they're trying to teach is by fear. And, you know, now no one's talking about suicide rates. I would love to know what the suicide rates are, and because due to COVID and isolation, you know, you have people who are just dying for human interaction, you know, or people who've lost their jobs and they don't know what they're going to do. You know, when is this going to end for them? And a lot of people really, really just are. So a lot of people just lost, man. Like, I really try to, for myself, I mean, I'm good. Like, I really have not struggled through COVID. Honestly, COVID has been a blessing in disguise for me and my family. We've talked about that on this podcast. But there's a lot of people out there that are really suffering, man. Like, they're really having a hard time with this.
No, I definitely agree. I mean, and again, we've talked about this a million times. I mean, it really hasn't, I mean, yeah, it's impacted me, but it really hasn't impacted me that horribly or horrifically negative. That's a real word that I just made up.
I'll go with it. Hey, it rolls. It goes.
Just smile and nod, you know, just smile and nod. But, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people, but I've also been very open about my mental health issues. You know, I do talk to a therapist, you know, I am on medication, you know, but a lot of this stuff was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So I was getting the treatment, and thank God, because through COVID, because don't get me wrong, I love my family.
Do you
3 months in the house with them?
Do you talk to your therapist via Zoom now? Is that how you're doing it?
So at first, yes. Well, no, the first one was, yeah, it was actually through Zoom.
Okay.
But then I could no longer go because she was actually in another part of Texas.
Okay.
It's weird. So it was through Zoom at the facility, but then I could no longer go to the facility because we were remanded to home. So I was just telephonically at that point. And it's worked out just fine for me. You know, I haven't had any issues. You know, I take my medication, I take my little happy blue pills, and I move on about my day.
Cialis?
You know,
I
start to exercise.
Cialis is blue. I mean,
I know I'm.
We could talk about getting close. Listen, we could talk about erectile dysfunction. We could talk about it.
I'm getting close to 41. Okay. I'll be 41 in, what's today? In 2 weeks, literally. But yeah, no.
You want to talk about the word? You want to take the word flaccid out of the box?
No. We're going to put that shit back in the box along with your mama's titties. And then we're going to throw that bitch in the ocean. All right.
So I guess a little public service announcement, because a lot of people don't know. And I think that's why I asked you, is that you can now, there's a lot of telehealth opportunities out there for if you're just sick or not feeling well. But a lot of people don't know that you can actually have therapist sessions or psychiatric sessions with a professional via Zoom or a phone call, and your insurance company, most insurances will actually cover it. So I think that's really important that a lot of you know. I mean, if anything, you know, Julian just said it, we talk about this all the time. You know, it's something that we do take very seriously, mental health and depression. Like, it's very important that if you're feeling a certain way, call somebody. Yo, DM me and Julian. We'll be more than happy to talk you through it. For real. Like, it's not a joke. Like, you can really go into some really dark places, you know, especially with the environment that we're living in. We just went through a crazy election. You know, we've had a crazy 2020. You know, a lot of this stuff compounds, you know, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I've seen a therapist. Julian's seen a therapist. I'm sure the 50 or so people that are, or 88 people that have been watching this are, have seen therapists. I'm not going to name names, but I already know a couple of y'all that need to at least see one. But yeah, dude, it's going to, you're going to feel better, because I think it's just a matter of talking to somebody, right? Like having that conversation. Like we had a great, like, honestly, like when we had those conversations, you and I, it was really, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say uplifting, but
you got it off your chest.
You got it off your chest. That's what I'm looking for. You got it off the chest.
So before we move on, I had no idea that my wife put like one of these time things, and all of a sudden, dude,
those things are deadly, bro. My wife used to keep them, like, my wife is short, right? So she would put them up where she would think is high, but they're literally like at eye level to me. So I'll like walk by a shelf and star, my eyes, I'm like burning. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like, what? Who the hell put this here? And she's like, I thought it was high enough. And I'm like, give it to me. I'll put it up high. But bro, all the time. I can't even. Or I'll go put, like, to hang something up, like, on a high shelf now, and I forget it's there. And pfft, like, it happens all the time. It's really kid. Anyway. So, Julian. Vaccines. The COVID-19 vaccine. Hot news right now. Everybody's talking about it.
Yes.
Your opinion. What do you think?
I mean, we need it. I mean, the bottom line is that we need it.
What's your anxiety of it? Like, why?
My anxiety is that we're in a rush to get it without the proper, you know, testing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they are asking. There are a lot of places that are asking for, like, volunteers to take it. I know some people I've seen on the news, doctors that have administered it and things like that. But we don't know enough about what these vaccines can possibly do, you know, any side effects or anything like that. And then the thing is, you know, there's multiple companies, you know, in the race right now to get FDA approval.
Did Pfizer get it?
They're still mulling that as of like 30 minutes ago. Pfizer, AstraZeneca, BioNTech, and Moderna are four of the companies that, I like that, are four of the companies that, put a ring on it, all the single ladies, are four of the companies that are in the race to get FDA approval. And, you know, they're talking about as early as, you know, like the 21st of December, start administering it. Now, they're also part of with the FDA and the CDC, you know, a lot of the talks are like, all right, who's going to get it first? You know, they're talking, you know, medical workers, probably the frontline workers, you know, everybody who's has to deal in the hospitals with the patients probably are going to be the first. I also read that on one of them, it's going to make you feel like shit, and then you're going to have to get another one. So that's that uncertain. I mean, I got it. Medicine is not an exact science. It's our practice. Doctors are practicing on you. Yeah, we need it, but are we rushing into it?
Yeah, I have strong feelings about this vaccine. Me and my family are not going to get the vaccine when it first rolls out. I've already made that decision, and as a precursor to that, I haven't had the flu shot since I was 18 years old. Since whenever, I think back in the day, you had to get one for college. I think that was the last time I had gotten one. I think it was my freshman or sophomore year when I was on campus. I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any stretch. I think those people are crackpots and crazies. But this is something that doesn't sit well with me. When you're rushing something, you know what I mean? It's like, it's, you know, the whole thing with supply and demand. You like, you have this high demand, then companies race to give you a product, and 9 out of 10 times that product ends up being crap, right? Like, it falls apart, doesn't work well. I don't have enough faith in these drug companies that have been basically also poisoning us for the last 40, 50 years with opiates and all this other nonsense just to sell people medication to take them off opiates. Like, I think it's a little insane. You know, I see on social media a lot people getting into these hot flash arguments. Like, well, why wouldn't you get the vaccine? Don't you want this to be over? I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to die or get some massive allergic reaction. It's like
when the side effects are worse than the conditions. Yeah, like
those herpes commercials, you know what I'm talking about? You too can now have a great and wonderful life with Trilexa. Symptoms are anal bleeding, possible death, heart attack, stroke. You know, and the guy in the soothing voice is telling you, like, listen, things could be bad, but you won't have the herpes anymore. Like, hey, I don't know, man. Also, and then I don't know if I've ever shared my guilty pleasure, but I love zombie novels. Right? Do you ever read a zombie novel, a book, any type of zombie book? Have you watched zombie movies?
Books. Yes.
So how does every zombie movie like start? They get
a disease.
They get inoculated with some vaccine that just jacks you up. Like, that gives me a level of paranoia.
Z Nation,
Walking Dead.
World War Z.
World War Z. They were all because of vaccine inoculations that went bad. And I know it's fake, so don't at me, but it still gives you a thought. Like, okay, so maybe I might not turn into a zombie, but I was gonna say maybe it would make you sterile, but in my case, I'm good. I would pay them to to make sure that wasn't painful. But like, you know, like I just don't see, like, I've already saw it, like you, I read some of the reports that this is a painful vaccination. And not that a little bit of pain won't hurt anybody, but we just don't know. Like, if people think, this is what bothers me, people think that vaccines cause autism with no scientific explanation. There's no research. There's not a medical doctor that agrees with this. But these are the same people that are like, yes, hit me up, you know, like stick it in there.
So, and that's the, and the one population that I fear is all my military, you know, brothers and sisters. Oh, yeah,
you guys are the first ones.
We have to get Ebola, if you're still in the service, you know, we have to get the flu shot. You know, when you're on active duty, you have to. There's a couple of, you know, fine prints that you can get out of it. Like if you just had a child, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, whatever, you know, because it's a live agent. But you know, with the anti-vaxxers and the autism. All right, so when I was mobilized in 2003, okay, thinking that I was going to go to Iraqistan, because I didn't know if it was Iraq or Afghanistan, so mm-hmm, we'll just melt
in the middle
to Iraqistan. In one day, I got yellow fever vaccine.
Ooh.
I started the anthrax series. So you want to talk about a painful
one? I heard that one's bad. The anthrax series.
It's six of them.
Yeah.
And every following one is more painful than the one before. Okay. The smallpox, that one's a bitch.
That's a bitch too. Yeah.
That one's horrible. You know, when you go to basic training, or at least when I went to basic training back in, you know, anyway, with Napoleon, you know, they gave us this pink thing. And one of the first things that they told us was, don't get anybody pregnant in the next 90 days. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, six plus the booster, the booster shots. Now, one positive was once I left that, you know, the places where you donate plasma,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, they're asking if anybody ever had the anthrax series.
Yes.
And they were giving and to donate plasma, I was getting $100 a pop. Like I took like $2,800 from these people until my titer levels went down. They're like, nah, no more. I'm like, eh, okay.
That's crazy. But yeah, I don't know what the answer is to it all. I'm reading Kenneth's comment. He said the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, as amended, created a National Vaccine Injury Comprehensive Program, a no-fault alternative to the traditional tort system. It provides compensation to people found to be injured by certain vaccines.
Okay. So he's speaking technical, and Kenneth, I love you, bro. But can we break this down like Barney style? I'm guessing it has to do with if somebody gets thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just don't. I've gotten into a lot of heated arguments with anti-vaxxers because, you know, having an autistic child, people are like, oh, did you get him vaccinated? Yes. Yes, I got them vaccinated because I don't want my kid to get polio or smallpox or whatever the case may be. But
hold on a second. 100,000 service members were injured with the anthrax
vaccine. I believe it. I heard that's a nasty.
It's horrible.
I heard it's a nasty vaccine.
It's awful. Imagine getting Charlie horse in the arm,
yeah,
and then a hot poker.
Yeah, I've heard from a few friends that are enlisted, and then a couple of guys who work for the FBI that do counterintelligence, and they're like, it's one of the worst things in the world.
Fucking horrible.
But
the thing is, and going back to all this uncertainty and everything, like even my mom, I always talk about, you know, she's in her 70s, so you know she is in that age group where it's susceptible. She's fucking afraid. She doesn't want to get it.
She'd rather
stay remanded to home, taking her happy pills until.
Well, because if there is some type of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, symptom. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know why I'm blanking out.
Side effects.
Excuse me. Yeah, side effects. If there is some type of side effects, like it's harder for people with in advanced age to fight that off. Like it's serious. It's not a joke. You know, honestly. And then like now I'm reading that they're trying to decide who gets it first. That's always a fun one, right? So next thing you know, they're gonna be black market vaccines. Yo, you break me off a stack, and I'll hook you up with this vaccine. But you know, they want to get people in advanced age in long term healthcare facilities and first responders and doctors the vaccine. I'm okay, but not okay. Like I honestly don't think doctors should be the first ones to get it, because if there is something wrong, I don't think it should be our first line of defense for people to get a vaccine. You know what I mean?
Listen, bro, I'm going to tell you because I used to be a paramedic. Doctors are pretty much useless at the hospitals. They have all the degrees,
yeah.
But like,
well, they're talking about doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, everybody. They're talking about anybody who works like in the facilities.
Guys, yes. Like the nurse practitioners, the respiratory therapists, the EMS,
yeah, people. All those people. Like they're saying to give it to them, but I'm also like saying
the doctor.
I'm also saying like if there is something wrong and you're inoculating
my sister-in-law, who is a doctor, but you know she's a pediatrician and she deals with other stuff. But like the ER doctors, while they're very educated, no offense if you're a doctor, you know, don't get butthurt. Don't. It's info@invisiblybroken.com if you're going to send me the hate mail. But I used to be a paramedic, and I've seen doctors try to give an IV. You fucking suck. So.
But, you know, I think they should give it to people who are serving life sentences in prison or murder charges or rape charges. Why not give it to them? Is that inhumane? Is that me being an asshole?
Maybe.
Like,
I don't know.
Like, why not let them be the guinea pig? If they're in, I'm talking about like, when I say people in prison, I'm talking about like maximum security, death row, serving six consecutive 60-year sentences for doing very heinous crimes. Like, let inject. What are they going to do? Write a letter to the governor? Like,
yeah, because then somebody's gonna be, it's inhumane.
Yeah, man, let them
know. They have rights too, and blah 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 blah.
Screw them. Whatever. I just I don't know, man. Like, I personally will not be in the first line. And I say this seriously, like, not a joke. Like, I think a lot of people should put some real thought into it. I posted something a while ago on social media asking if people would line up. And, you know, I heard a lot of people, and they really, the answers they give back, you know, oh, if that means I can travel or get my visa, or they, or just rushing to it blindly. Like, how can you possibly have that much blind faith in a system?
And it's not just that. So here's the other part about it is, now let's go on the best case scenario. Okay. Mm-hmm. That the vaccine comes out, it's effective, no real side effect, you know, let's go with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. The issue that now I have is because now you're talking about big pharma, mm-hmm. and now money profits are going to come in, just like, you know, there was that controversy a few years ago with the EpiPen.
Yep.
The EpiPen was cheap as shit, but now they jacked up one pen to like $400.
Yep. I mean, I can't see them. I can't see big pharma's having, because of the EpiPen, right? My thought is that because of the EpiPen, because they took a huge black eye
for that.
I just can't see them, especially now that with the state of our country and the state of the world, that they would even remotely. Pandemic. Yeah, I don't think they would now try that. They're
looking as profiteering off of.
But they're still going to profit. I mean, they're going to make a shit ton of money off of it, especially if there are any type of residual effects. And I'm sure there's going to be a booster shot. Another five. I mean, like, the long-term plan for a vaccination, if it's anything like chickenpox,
a file patch,
or, you know what I mean?
A file patch.
You know, another thing a lot of people don't really think about, and I was looking at this earlier, the history of vaccines. Like, we have never had a vaccine be rushed like this. And I'm trying to remember, when was the last vaccine? Like, a vaccine that we get on a regular. Not like Ebola or anthrax, like something that was recently made that's a new vaccine. There's been adjustments to boosters, right? I know hepatitis has had a few boosters.
And that all depends. I mean, because there's a lot of, you know, like, diseases that are kind of dead, but they sprout up, you know, diphtheria, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, those vaccines have been produced already. I think about like an our lifetime. You know what I mean? Because I mean, because of vaccines, anti-vaxxers, listen, because of vaccines, we haven't had, I mean, like, measles was just about all eradicated until some asshole didn't want to vaccinate their children in 2015, smallpox, like a lot of these diseases, we still get vaccinated for them. I mean, when was the last time you saw somebody that got the chicken pox? Oh, wait.
I mean, they have a shingles vaccine.
Yeah, but that's been around for a long time. They modified.
Yeah, I know.
They modified a few years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
whooping cough. Man. They modified whooping cough because there was a new like strand or something, like a mutation. But like, if you think about it, like, we haven't, like, COVID-19, like SARS, things like that, like SARS, you know, there hasn't been any reason to come up with a new vaccine. So this is another reason why I have like heartburn over this, you know, like, why should I be racing to something? Like, I don't have that faith in big pharma. Actually, I don't trust big pharma at all. I mean, if you really look at the history of big pharma and what some people do for medications, not necessarily vaccinations, but just medications in general, and some of the shortcuts they take and the lawsuits that they've had, like, do the research, like, look into these things. Like, this isn't a good look, I don't think. Like, you know, I just don't, like, I will get one. I have no problem getting vaccinated. I will get one once I see the success rates in vaccinations. If I see the vaccinations and those numbers start to dwindle down, I'm like, all right, because I travel a lot, right? Like, I mean, like I said before, I'm high risk. My wife's high risk. I want to protect my children, and I'm, you know, for the type of work I do, I'm in touch with, I interact with hundreds of people at a time. So I want job security. So if that's the case, then yes, I'll get it. But I don't want to be the first one. Honestly, I don't even know, maybe a year before I even think about it.
And that's the thing. And also when you consider, and again, going back to, I'm going to kind of bring this whole thing full circle. You can see mm-hmm. how I like that. Going back to what we were talking about, the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing a heart to complete you?
The circle.
It's a circle. A circle. Okay. Let's go back to the mortality rate. Not very high.
What is it? 250,000? 300? We hit 300 not too long ago. 300,000?
No, but what I'm saying, the mortality, the actual rate of this, again, not downplaying it, but, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. So we're rushing in to get a vaccine for something that has a relatively low mortality rate. When if we just stick to the very simple, put your mask on, stay the fuck away from people, or at least those 6 feet. And I'm antisocial shit. Hey, 9 feet away, guy. You want to do an appointment? I got FaceTime on my work phone. Let's do it from there. You know, it's just those little simple things, you know, like even now, you know, anytime I go out, I got my mask. My little girl, the 5-year-old, anytime we're going to go out, she's like, Papa, where's my mask? I'm like, here's your mask, baby.
Yeah.
You know, we wash those. We have like a closet full of masks. So we're like, oh, matches my outfit today.
Yeah. I mean, I think the risk is low enough. In my personal opinion, I think the risk is low enough for the world to continue on.
Yeah.
You know, I do, you know, maybe the message should be, hey, listen, you know, this is a very serious, but it's serious for those who are advanced in age, who have pre-existing,
the ones that are susceptible.
Why don't you guys make sure that let's you stay so that yeah, group. Like focus on that group, you know, let's do something to protect them. But then, you know, for the younger, you know, relatively, I guess, healthier, you know, more less susceptible to this disease or to get advanced symptoms of this disease, you know,
let's work on preventative
case.
Measures.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Because we just can't continue. Like, the world can't afford another lockdown. Just can't, you know, like this politicizing of he said, she said, you know, you have the governor of New York making fun of the governors of Florida. And, you know, like everybody's against each other. No one's on the same page, you know, like, and some people, you know, you're messing with thousands, millions of people's lives and livelihood based on what I think is just a war of sorts. Like, you know, like who has the bigger pecker? You know, like I just, some people can't get over their own pride, and they're literally some of these mayors and governors are destroying cities. Look at LA and look at New York. Like people are leaving in troves. Like they don't want to live there anymore. I think that this has really opened their eyes. Like you're talking about cities that would never lose their luster. Like you want to go make it big. Like, look, let's swing it over to the comedy scene, right? Like if you want to be a comic, where do you go?
One of the biggest names in comedy said,
peace out to LA,
California.
Yeah. And move to Texas. And a lot of people are following him. Like if you want to be a musician, actor, comedian, New York,
entertainer,
LA. You know,
New York, LA.
Done deal. That's where you have to go to make it big. And now, no, you don't have to. With the platforms that they have and things the way they're going, like people are leaving. You know, Texas is becoming a big hotspot. Florida is becoming a big hotspot. Canada is becoming a big hotspot for entertainment, especially within movies and stuff like that. So, you know, it's crazy. Like, you don't need to be there anymore. And I think people need to start waking up in those states that they're losing their citizens to other states because people don't want to live like that anymore. They're starting to see it's overrated. Like, who wants to live in a 200 square foot apartment and you pay $10,000 a month? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's rough. Like, it's a whole new world out there for that particular industry. And honestly, I tell people all the time, like, I really think and if things keep going the way they are in two or three years, no one's going to care about New York and no one's going to care about LA. They're going to be secondhand cities to compare to other states.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. And you know, trying to kind of shift focus a little bit, you know, when we were talking about all the crappy shit that's happened due to this. One of the crappiest things is that we lost all public events like sports. And like, I'm so happy sports are back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have.
But, you know, the one thing that I can say on a positive note is that, yes, Ellie, this has actually brought upon opportunity, a lot of opportunity for people to branch out and do other things, i.e., us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. We start a podcast. You know, have a good friend. She's watching right now, Ellie. You know, she. I mean, if you haven't kept up with her on a dose of Ellie, her daily podcast. You know, she quit her corporate job not too long ago, and she's doing her own thing. A lot of it is virtual. She's doing a lot of the comedy down in South Florida. Ellie, if I was in South Florida, I would definitely go hit up your next show. But I can't. Sorry, but you know. A lot of opportunities for other people to do other things have come about. And a lot of people are seeing that there are other options that they can do for either a livelihood or just to find another hobby or do something else. And, you know, they're like, hey, this came about. I got bored and I needed to just get away from my family for like 3 minutes. Did a 19-minute shitty ass podcast. And now here we are live on Facebook and YouTube.
So. Yeah. I mean, there's always an opportunity for something, right? There's always something that we can do together. You know, you just gotta take a leap of faith and try something different. You know, this is something this particular podcast, we learn a lot and we failed in a lot of areas and, you know, but we're making way. We've seen progress. We're getting new listeners. We're live now. You know, like there's a lot of different aspects that, you know, that we were intimidated by, but now we're here, you know, and a lot of that is because of COVID, you know, and it's given an opportunity for two friends to speak their mind on a platform and try to grow it. But in that case, I think this is a good stopping point, Julian.
I think yes, because we have rattled on for quite a bit.
Yeah. So, you know, so guys, thank you so much for listening to us. For those who listen to us live or they're listening to us on demand. Again, if this is the first time you guys are listening to the Invincibly Broken podcast and you're listening to us live on Facebook or YouTube, please go ahead, smash that like button, smash the subscribe button, hit the alert so you're notified anytime we post a new video. We're going to try to drop at least 2 to 3 live podcasts a month, plus whatever little clips that we're going to be throwing in moving on in the future. So make sure you hit the subscribe button so that way you stay up to date with that. For those of you who want to follow us on our on podcasts and listen to us on demand, we are on all podcasting platforms. So you guys can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, just simply search the Invincibly Broken Podcast and we'll pop up in there. Please, if you do that, subscribe. Subscribe to both YouTube, Facebook, all three podcasts because it helps us on all facets, guys. It really does. So hit the subscribe button, like, leave a review for us on our pages or on the podcasting platform. Let us know if you like it or if you don't. If you have anything that you want to add or you want to be a guest on our show, please reach out to us. You can follow me personally on the Invincible. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Invincibly_Orlando.
And you can follow me personally at Invincibly_Julian.
Also, we have a website, www.invinciblybroken.com. You can sign up for our newsletter on there as well to get more updates. Are you guys following the tune that I'm spitting here? We want you guys to stay up to date with us and included. So jump on there, subscribe, email list, hit us up on social media. We're more than happy to have a conversation with you, whether you agreed with us, disagreed with us, or if you want to hear us talk about something else in the future. Until next time, guys, everybody be safe, have fun, ciao, bye-bye.
And thank you guys for participating. We love the comments. Thank you so much. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Stay safe.
Are we not live? Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Awesome. Good episode.
I mean,
stop recording.